Well, today we have a continuation of yesterday's theme about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, of course, was the day of rest. And in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was on a Saturday. So Sabbath was the Saturday, the day of rest. Well, why do we now have Sunday as our day of rest? That's because the early church, inspired by the Holy Spirit, changed the Lord's Day from Saturday to Sunday. And now Sunday is the day of rest. And the early church had that authority. In the earliest days, obviously, the chosen people, the Jewish people, kept Saturday as their holy day. They would go to the synagogue, they would go to the temple. But then when Christianity grew out of Judaism, eventually those Christians were sort of excommunicated from the synagogue, so they would then worship God on a different day, which was Sunday. So Sunday became the Lord's Day. We see in the Acts of the Apostles, the apostles would gather around on the Lord's Day for the celebration of the Eucharist. So Sunday is our day of rest. It is the Sabbath. It's a day for recreation and renewal. Perhaps one of the resolutions we should take from this body, mind, and soul cruise is really to keep Sunday as a day of rest, as a holy day. And obviously, the most important thing we can do on a Sunday is go to church. Every Sunday, give God that 1 hour. See, imagine if somebody gave you $168 as a gift, but then they said, could you give me one back? What would you say? What would they say if you said, no, I want to keep it all to myself? Well, that's how it is every week. God gives us 168 hours every week as a free gift. But then God says, can you give me one back? And that is Sunday. That 1 hour of church on Sunday is that 1 hour we give back to God. So we always have to keep the Lord's Day holy. The Catechism says we should not do any unnecessary manual labor on Sunday that takes the joy out of Sunday. See, Sunday should be a day for renewal, relaxation, worship of God, family time, family prayer. So if you have work to do, do it on the other 6 days and keep Sunday as a day of rest, a day of relaxation, a day for the family. So avoid unnecessary manual labor that takes the joy out of Sunday. So the kids always say, Father, does that mean I don't have to do homework on Sunday? And of course, the Catechism says no. Homework is not considered unnecessary manual labor. Okay, so sorry, kids, you still have to do your homework on Sunday. And you can still do your light house cleaning. You can still do the cooking. See, that's fine. Those things are fine. It's just unnecessary manual labor that takes the joy out of Sunday. So we should keep Sunday as a special day. I remember once meeting Zig Ziglar after a seminar, and he was speaking to, obviously about 3,000 people that day in a big stadium. And I noticed that on his jacket he had a lapel pin which had the number 7. Of course, it was in diamonds. This, I'm sure, was worth a lot of money, but it was at number 7. Okay, and I said, Zig, why do you wear that? He said, because I want people to ask me about it, because he liked to evangelize and spread his Christian faith. And he would then remind people that the Lord made 7 days, and one of them is his. So we have to keep that one day as the Lord's day. Now the scribes and Pharisees were trying to trap the Lord, because they figured that this man who had the withered hand, if Jesus cured him on a Sabbath, well, then Jesus violated the Sabbath. He was then working, so they could then have him brought before the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, and they could accuse him of something, namely working on the Sabbath, because he would have cured this man's hand. Well, it says Jesus knew their plots and their evil thoughts, and he asked the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? See, the Lord knew that they had taken the Sabbath to an extreme. Remember, Jesus would remind them that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so doing a good deed like curing this man did not violate the Sabbath. It was something that was good and something sacred to help heal on the Sabbath. In fact, the Lord even knew that one of their own teachings was that if their lamb or farm animal fell into a well on the Sabbath, they were allowed to get it out. That did not violate the Sabbath. So they would obviously take care of their animals on the Sabbath, but why wouldn't they want the Lord to heal this human person? Is it interesting that we can draw a parallel to today's modern society, that some people treasure animal life more than human life? Isn't that right? There are laws against the killing the spotted owl or a baby whale, and yet it's allowed to kill an unborn child in America. Isn't that incredible to think of that? You know, some people can get put into prison and fined tens of thousands of dollars for endangering, let's say, a spotted owl egg in some parts of the country, and yet it's allowed to legally kill an unborn human life in America. It doesn't make sense. So it's the same thing here, that the scribes and Pharisees were saying, yes, they were allowed to, let's say, save an animal on the Sabbath, but they didn't care about this man who had the withered hand. And so just to prove the Lord's value of the dignity of the human person, he pulls this man out of the synagogue crowd and he pulls him up in front. And it says, he brought the man and said, come up and stand before us. The Lord wanted to make this a public demonstration. And so the Lord looked around at the scribes and the Pharisees. And it says, Jesus was angry. And he was grieved at the hardness of heart of the Pharisees. So notice Jesus showed anger. Now, an important distinction is that the Lord used his temper. He did not lose his temper. See, there's a distinction there. The great Jesuit, Father John Hardin, says, it's okay to use your temper, but don't lose your temper. See, there is this thing as righteous anger, just anger. We should be angry at the abortion industry. We should be angry at terrorism. We should be angry at child abuse. We should be angry at the drug trade, right, that destroys families and children. We should be angry at things like that. But that's how we use our anger, but we don't want to lose our temper, right? So Jesus, truly God and truly man, as you know, he drove out the money changers. He used his zeal and his anger to drive out the money changers and to be angry at the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. But today, he is angry at the scribes and Pharisees because of their hardness of heart. So he tells the man to stretch out his hand, and he does. And immediately, it is cured. It's an immediate, instantaneous cure. And of course, it says the scribes and Pharisees then went out to take counsel on how they could put Jesus to death, because he had violated the Sabbath. See, isn't that something? They were so concerned about the ritual and about the laws and rules and regulations of the Sabbath. As you know, they had added an additional 600 laws to the Word of God. In fact, some of the Pharisees and scribes took the Sabbath to such an extreme that they wouldn't even go to the bathroom on the Sabbath, right? Isn't that... It seems to me that that would be more work trying not to go to the bathroom than it would to be just to let things go their normal course. But so the Lord was telling them that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay, so we obviously put respect for human life above all things, and then we should take from today's gospel the importance of the Sabbath rest. That yes, the Sabbath is sacred, it is holy. So as one of your resolutions, perhaps, from this trip, is to have one day a week in which you pray, worship God, relax, have family time, and not do unnecessary work on the Lord's day.